Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All of us can relate to having a dream. You may be a new Christian here or even searching and you're just sort of finding, you know, where you fit in the kingdom of God and his purpose for you. You may be in the middle of really pursuing something that you're excited about and you're satisfied and you're fulfilled and life's awesome. Or you may be a bit like I was, absolutely no idea what I'm doing with my life. That was me for probably 20 years at least in my Christian walk. No clue, but you know, just get on with it until you find it. And for some of you, you're ready for something new. You want a new dream, you want a new passion. So I'm sure we can all relate to that on some level. So I want to share a bit about I love telling stories from the Bible, so I want to share a little bit about the story of Joseph. Some of you know the musical Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I won't sing it because that's just embarrassing. our household's a bit of a musical. Should come to our house sometime. So the story is quite a few chapters long. It starts in Genesis 37. So if you do want to read a bit more about his life, you can do that. I'm just going to pull a couple of points out from that this morning. So if we can have Genesis 37 verse 5 up. I'll just read what I've got here. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Goes on a bit. Joseph tells them his second dream. I can just see the eyes rolling, you know. "Look, I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So just a little bit about Joseph. He was 17, the youngest in quite a large family. And his father favored him and made him this beautiful cloak or tunic. Hands up if you're the baby in the family. Give me a wave. Oh, that explains a lot. Sometimes the spoiled one, sometimes the naughty one gets away with a lot. What about the firstborns? I'm a firstborn. Responsible, often has leadership thrust upon you and you don't want it. Yep, also the guinea pig for your parents to practice on. And by now, all the middle children are like, "What about me?" You guys are the meat in the sandwich. Or the chickpeas in the sandwich, if you're vegan. Cool, so probably not the greatest idea to share dreams about your family bound down to when you're the favorite. Probably not a good idea, but that set the course for Joseph and his journey with the Lord. So God had a dream for me. When I was 8 years old, I was standing in a church of about 500 people during praise and worship time. And I was looking up at the stage and the band and the worship leader, and God said to me, "You're going to do that one day." And being 8 and not really recognizing the voice of God at that time, I was like, "Whatever, I'm never getting up on stage, I can't do that." And little did I know that was the beginning of my journey into what God had for me. So what is your dream? What is your passion? What has God spoken to you? And you know what? It might not be a big dream in the night. It might not be the voice of God. It might not be even like a special thought that comes to you. It might even be a need in your community that you're aware of. It might be in your family. It might be in your church. It might be in your neighborhood. Something you see and you go, "Man, that needs to be sorted out." Or, you know, "I really love to fix that for somebody." So, you know, don't think you've got to wait for this big spiritual thing to happen to you or an encounter, you know. Just keep your eyes and ears open. God could be having all these things around you and you don't even know it. All right, so point number one was that. What is your dream? Point number two, and everybody goes through many of these in our lives. You get encouraged, you get a dream, you get purpose, and then the pit. Everybody say the pit. Okay. So the story continues when Joseph is sent to check on his brothers. His dad sends him to go and check on his brothers. They end up in a place called Dothan, I think it's pronounced. And his brothers decide they're going to kill him. Nice, eh? But one of the brothers, the oldest Reuben, stands up and says, no, let's not push that over. We're not going to do that. Let's just put him into a pit instead. So let's take it from Genesis 37, verse 23 and 24. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now I'm sure a lot of us here can relate to this. We all go through it. And today you might even feel stuck in a pit. A dark place, a hard place, could be discouragement, could be disillusionment. You might feel like you've lost your way a little bit. You might feel alone. It could be anything where you just feel stuck. And I just want to encourage you today, if that's you, there is actually something really beautiful, potential for something beautiful to come out of this. And I was really excited when I read this. So have a listen to this. So the place they were in, Dothan, actually means two wells. The end of that scripture says, they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. So chances are he was standing in a well. I think some translations actually say that. He was standing in a well. So chances are you're standing in a well. And what that means for me, I know, is time to dig deep in God. Like, he wants to release something beautiful over your life, even in the hardest time. And Darlene shared about that this morning so beautifully. In the hardest time, if you decide, you know what? This is hard, I don't understand it, I don't know what's happening, I can't see a way out, I'm just going to trust God, and I'm going to just lean into him, press into him, worship him, and God can turn your most difficult, hardest, awful place in your life into something so beautiful. A huge pit experience for me, and I've probably haven't shared this publicly before, is my mum had cancer on and off for about 12 years on and off. She was about 39, 40 when she was diagnosed. And it was honestly like a monster was living in our house. Not my mother, the cancer, let me just clarify that. It was the most horrible, most awful thing I've ever seen anybody go through. And, when someone is that ill, the whole family goes through it, you know? And we all deal with it differently. But she passed away. She passed away on a Thursday morning, and we got to Sunday, and our family was just at home, really down, as you would be, grieving in our own way. And I had this moment when I was like, you know what? I have to worship God today. And I just felt like there was this moment where I needed to either put a stake in the ground or draw a line in the sand before the enemy and say, no matter what, you're not going to steal my song today. And so my family stayed at home, which was fine, but I said, no way, I'm going to church. And that morning I worshipped my heart out. I think I bawled as well, which is fine. I escaped afterwards, but I just really feel like my decision that day set me up for where I am today. And I can honestly say nothing will take my song away. Nothing will take my worship away. You know, God deserves it all. And I just want to encourage you, the pit can be the most powerful time. For me, man, I learned to worship the Lord during that time. And I just want to encourage you, just dig deep into God in that time. If you can get to that place where nothing will steal your song, you are a powerful Christian. I just want to say that. Cool. All right, so let the Lord turn your pit into a well. Point number three is the slavery. So after the pit, Joseph's brothers, they saw a trade, I think it's a trade, of Ishmaelites coming through, and they decided we're going to sell him as a slave to them. And he was taken to Egypt and bought by a man called Potiphar, who worked for the Pharaoh. And Potiphar took him into his home, and he became a slave and worked there. So one definition of slavery, there were a few, but I really like this one. The condition of being subject to some influence or habit. The condition of being subject to some influence or habit. So for me, when I was in high school, I really identified with music because I just felt like that was part of what God wanted me to do. I was told by my music teacher at the time not to pursue music. And then I was told by another music teacher not to sing. And they said, you are not as good as, and they mentioned the name of like this genius child prodigy that was at our school who was amazing. Tim knows who she is. It's like this opera singer, you know, like 13 and just amazing. But man, fear came on my life that day, and dread. Every time I had to sing or perform, I would literally just shake or cry, or the nerves just would get the better of me. And I would do my performance for school, for marks and stuff, come home and go to bed because I just couldn't cope with it. And but you know what? God just kept making a way for me and just kept opening doors of opportunity for me. And, you know, you might have areas of slavery today, like you might have fear or something in the way of what you think, you know, is standing in the way of you moving forward. But just like Joseph was in slavery, God put his hand on him. And I just want to read Genesis 39:2-5. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. It goes on, the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, that's Potiphar, and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I love that. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So God was with Joseph. And he prospered him even in that time. God is with you this morning. So even while Joseph was a slave, even while we may have areas of slavery, you know, it could even be your job. You might feel stuck in your job and you just don't like it. And you're like, what am I doing here, God? You know, God wants to prosper you in there. You're a light in there, you know. and I love Joseph because he just did everything to the best of his ability, and God just opened doors everywhere, and he ended up like being a leader where he was, even in prison later on. So I get to do my dream job now, but I just want to list some of the random jobs I've had in my life. Feel free to laugh at me. Okay, here we go. Packing frozen spinach into boxes. I had green fingers for a week after that. Babysitting three Buddhist children near a Buddhist temple. One of them chased me with a knife. That was fun. Digging rows of holes in the dirt to plant calla lily flowers. I got sunburnt in a very awkward place. Picking avocados, teacher aiding, reception work, pumping petrol, which, by the way, I learned diesel and petrol are two different things, just so you know. Working in a four square, working in an office at a construction site with 70 guys and me. And one of the young guys had a crush on me, used to come up the stairs to my office without his shirt on, used to send his friends up to ask me all these questions like, does she like horseback riding on the beach? No, I don't like horseback riding on the beach. Go away. House cleaning. Serving dinner in the dementia ward at a retirement village, and I could tell you some stories about that, but I won't. You're not going to start in your happy place, you know? And there's an amazing quote from a guy called Rick Pino. He says this, don't compare your seed season to somebody else's harvest season. Don't compare your beginning to somebody else's end or their success or their peak time, because comparison is such a thief of joy. So don't do it. Yeah. So, you know, I may not have enjoyed all those lovely random jobs, especially being chased with a knife, or got a lot out of them, but I guarantee you that God was forming my character in each one of them, and I became a better person because of them. So you can either see your job as just like, oh, it's Monday. Where's the coffee? Let's go. Or you can go, man, Lord, I'm here. You've put me here. I want to bless this place because you are in me, you know. Form my character. Pray for your bosses and the people around you. You're there for a reason. All right, so that was point three. Turn your slavery into a character building time. And my last point. And I think this is one of the most important ones. I left it for last. Joseph's clothing. I want to talk a little bit about that and take us all back to the beginning again. So like I said before, Joseph's dad, he favored him. He gave him this beautiful cloak or tunic. And some scholars say it had long sleeves, which actually meant he didn't have to do shepherding, which his brothers did. So maybe that's why they didn't like him very much. Some people say that it had strips of dyed cloth, which was probably really expensive. So we'll just have a look here, Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. And what I love about the symbol of this cloak or tunic is no matter what it looked like, if it had long sleeves or short sleeves, the Father had put it on him. God has clothed you with something special. And I want to just point this out. In the Bible, usually when a father puts on a garment of significance onto their child, it usually means that they are, especially in this case, they are actually handing over the future leadership of their family to that child. So Joseph was 17. Look where he ended up in the end of that story, if you know it. If you don't, I really encourage you to read it. He ended up leading his family. So it was like a prophetic statement that God had put on him. And I'm going to sound a bit like Oprah this morning. And I want to say, you get a cloak, 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 you get a cloak. Everybody gets a cloak. You know, you have a voice, you have a place, you have a destiny, you have a purpose. God has given you authority, he's given you the keys. And I love that the kingdom of God is inclusive. Nobody misses out. I was not in the cool club at school. I hung out in the music room at lunchtimes, you know, with maybe three of my friends. But, you know, no one misses out in the kingdom of God. So dream big today. Let God turn your pit into a well. Let times of slavery be character building. And remember that God has clothed you in purpose and destiny.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.